Chapter 1. Frank Molloy, Confidential Inquiries. Frank hesitated a moment to admire the sight of his name in gilt letters on the frosted glass of the office door. The Confidential Inquiries had been his mother-in-law's idea. Elizabeth Decker felt that detective agency was somehow undignified and might attract the wrong type of client. Frank wasn't sure what the wrong type of client might be for a private detective agency, but he was more than willing to give his new business at least a hint of respectability. He turned the brass knob and stepped into the office. His assistant, former police officer Gino Donatelli, instantly rose from behind his brand new desk. "Here's Mr. Molloy now," he said to the respectable middle-aged couple sitting in the row of wooden chairs lining the wall. Frank removed his hat and went over to shake hands as Gino introduced him to Mr. and Mrs. Northrup. They both had the stunned look of people who had received one of life's harsher blows. Mr. Northrup covered his pain with bluster, the way men often did, but Mrs. Northrup could barely speak and looked as if she might shatter at the slightest touch.
"Gino, would you take the Northrups into my office?"
The slender young man hurried to escort them through the connecting door, while Frank removed his tailored wool overcoat and hung it, along with his hat, on the wooden coat tree. Mrs. Decker had suggested a brass one, but Frank didn't want to look like he didn't need business, even though he didn't. He'd only consented to opening the agency because being a millionaire had turned out to be pretty boring for a former New York City police detective. Since he didn't need the money, he also didn't want to scare off poorer clients who might well be the most interesting cases. In the few weeks since he'd been open, he hadn't gotten any interesting cases at all. Unfortunately for them, the Northrups promised to break that streak. Frank followed them into his modestly decorated office. The furniture in here was new, too, which couldn't be helped because the business was new, but it wasn't particularly expensive or ornate. The Northrups sat in the two wooden chairs placed in front of his plain walnut desk. Frank sat down in a more comfortable chair behind it and pulled a pad of paper and a pencil from the drawer. Gino discreetly sat down on a chair in the corner behind the Northrups with his own pad and pencil to take notes, in case Frank missed anything.
"I'm very sorry to hear about your daughter," Frank said. "Mr. Donatelli told me a little bit about your case when he telephoned me."
Frank usually didn't bother coming to the office unless he needed to see a client, which hadn't been much of an issue until today.
"I don't know how much Mr. Donatelli told you," Mr. Northrup said uncertainly. "Just that she was killed. Why don't you start at the beginning and tell me the whole story?"
Mrs. Northrup made a small sound of distress and pressed a handkerchief to her lips. Northrup cleared his throat.
"It's hard to know where to begin. Abigail is our only daughter. She was always so..."
He gestured helplessly.
"Outstanding," Mrs. Northrup said, almost defensively. "Outstanding in everything she did."
"Yes," Northrup said. "She excelled at her schoolwork, and she could sing beautifully and play the piano."
"And everyone loved her. Don't forget that," Mrs. Northrup said. "She was like a little star, always shining so brightly."
"She was too bright for Tarrytown, I'm afraid," Northrup said.
"Tarrytown?"
"That's where we live, you see. It's in Westchester County."
"I know where it is," Frank said, recalling the quiet little town north of the city.
"If you live in Tarrytown, what was Abigail doing in the city?" "Oh, she's lived here for years now, ever since she came here to attend college."
"I knew we shouldn't have let her come," Mrs. Northrup dabbed at her tears. "If we'd kept her at home, she'd still be alive."
"Now, Mother, you know we couldn't have kept her in Tarrytown."
"She should have gotten married like her friends did. Why does a girl need to go to..."